Pakuda. Bache ibn Pakuda. And if you read his introduction, he shares some very, very self-reflective thinking. He says that there was never a book in his time, this is written almost 800 years ago, there weren't any books dealing with their inner life. He saw there were so many Jewish books dealing with how to celebrate Hanukkah, how to eat kosher, how to dress, all the things about what to do as a Jew, and he said there's not really much literature about my heart, my inner life. And he felt it was important to write a book about duty to the heart. So he gives his whole rationale for writing the book, and then he says, but you know what? I began to ask myself, who am I to write a book like this? I'm worthy of writing it. I'm smart enough to write a book like this. And he goes through this terrible doubt that maybe I'm not really the person that should write it. I'm not qualified. I'm not smart enough. And he really thought about not doing it. And then he says to himself, you know what? I began to think more, and I realized maybe it wasn't really humility that was getting in the way. Maybe it was laziness. And I was just convincing myself it was humility. What was really getting in the way of him writing this book? Laziness or humility? And he came to realize that what was really getting in the way was laziness, not humility. He ended up writing the book, thank God. Where's the timekeeper? Okay. I'm almost done. The Torah says to us in the 25th chapter of Vayikra, don't deceive other people. The Kutzker Rebbe says, this applies to yourself as well. Don't deceive yourself. Don't fool yourself. We have a law in the Torah in the 25th chapter of Dvarim, which says, don't have two sets of weights in your house. The weights have to be fair and equal. And the Mefarshim say that you shouldn't have double standards. Don't go through life where you have one standard for yourself and one standard for other people. That the Muslim movement tries to get us to realize, you know what, we often are not consistent with ourselves. We're often having double standards. Yisrael Salandra told an amazing story that once he came to an inn, and the innkeeper saw there's a rabbi coming in, he's got a beard, he's got a hat, he looks like a religious person. He says, any chance that you're a shochet, that you know how to slaughter animals? And Yisrael Salandra said, yeah, I know how to slaughter animals. And he says, maybe you could slaughter my calf in the backyard. And Yisrael Salandra says, I don't really do slaughtering. And then the next day, Yisrael Salanter asks this man if he can borrow some money. And the man said, you want me to lend you money? Do you have references? Do you have collateral? I mean, do it. Yisrael Salanter said, isn't it interesting? When it came to trusting me as a slaughterer, you didn't want references. No problem. If I said I can slaughter an animal, you trusted me. Now you want, I want to borrow money from you? Now you got to check me out. So he was saying to this man, you're not very consistent. How consistent are you in your requirements? It's only for your own monetary protection, but when it comes to kashrus, you're not so careful about that. We often have two sets of weights. We judge ourselves differently from other people. We can say about myself, you know what? I'm principled. I stick to my guns. You're a flip-flopper. I'm a person of convictions, but you're pig-headed. You're stubborn. I accept things about myself that I condemn in others. There are a whole catalog of syndromes, of behaviors, of motivations, of ways of looking at ourselves that the Musar practice of Cheshbon HaNefesh, of doing a spiritual accounting, asks us to look at carefully. We're supposed to be judges over ourselves. And you can always ask the question, isn't a person disqualified from being a judge in a case over himself? Talmud says, Adam Karov La'atzmo. We're close to ourselves. We have a vested interest. How can I be a judge over myself? So part of this is a promise in the Torah, because this is the act of tshuva, repentance, of changing ourselves. And the Torah says in Dvarim, chapter 30, that tshuva is not too difficult for you. It's not in the heavens. You have got to climb up to the heavens to reach it. It's not beyond the seas. So the Torah promises us that even though it's going to be difficult to be a judge over ourselves, to watch carefully, we're given the promise that it's possible. And basically, the formula for doing this is A, the study of Musar texts. By studying Musar texts, stories in the Bible, learning the kind of things that happen in interpersonal relationships and between a person and himself, learning the kind of syndromes that we all have deep down inside of us, studying Musar, doing self-examination, involving a friend, an objective third party, or a therapist, or someone close to you to help you do this evaluation, and finally prayer, asking Hashem, asking God to help us in this process of evaluating ourselves and changing ourselves. The promise of Musar is that we can have a dramatic impact on the quality of our lives. Thank you all. If there are questions, we have time for questions or comments.
You have to be very focused, and you're talking about the notion of focus and making sure that, trying to think here where it was, somewhere around the bottom of the first page, that you were speaking about focus being everything and being consistent in your approach, perhaps, or the word purity comes to mind in terms of your approach, and being pure towards yourself and towards all this vision and aspiration, that sort of thing, asking yourself what you want, what you seek. There are times in life where you have to make the best of a bad situation, and I would say there are times in every day where you're confronted with certain options, none of which are optimal, and you have to choose what it is that you are going to make the best of, which is the least of all the evils. And I just would like to ask you to comment on that, because it happens so frequently. And maybe there can be thought processes that take you outside of thinking of things as the least of all the evils. But perhaps you can just tell us what you think of that, because the world that you've described in this talk is a world that's quite ideal, where you have the choices and the time, and maybe you don't have four children at home who you have to feed or whatever it is that you need to do. But there's time and space to make good decisions. So I wonder if you could comment on that.
So it's a question that actually was constantly posed to Rabbi Sol Salanter, because, again, you're right, he was advocating that we develop the practice of being able to spend serious time thinking about serious issues and important issues. And many people came to him. There's a famous story that's told that a businessman came to him and said, listen, I just don't have time to do all this stuff. It's very rigorous. And, you know, you're advocating that it's important for Jews to study Torah to be able to develop the kind of internal mechanisms to be able to make good decisions. He says, I only find I have 15 minutes a day to study. So Yisrael Salanter would always say to people like this, if you study Musar, you'll find that you have more than 15 minutes a day. So the reality is that you're right. We're describing at this stage an ideal situation where people are able to dedicate serious time and focus in evaluating everything they do in life. Part of the answer to your question is, the Talmud's telling us, Ezehu chacham haroei es hanolad. The wise person looks into the future and anticipates problems. So if we always wait for problems to hit us in the face and have to act by the seat of our pants, it becomes, you're right, more difficult to make the right choice at that point, because sometimes we're left with, you know, an evil of two lessers. And what the Talmud suggests is that we try to spend time anticipating ahead of time what might be lying down the road. We don't have to wait till we get home and we get aggravated by something to begin thinking about how to respond to something that provokes us, our anger. It's much more effective on the drive home to think about all the things that might set me off when I get home, and then how am I going to deal with it. So if we look forward, we can often head things off at the pass. But ultimately, you're right. This becomes a process of building spiritual muscles over the course of a lifetime, where in the beginning, we may not be making decisions that are as highly a high quality kind of decision. It could be that this is the kind of a process that only a person gets good at after years of practice. So I don't think there's any expectation that we're going to become masters of ourselves in five easy lessons. I think that we're given the guidelines to make the kind of decisions now that might be more appropriate, but you're right, we may not be able to have the time to put into it now, or we may not have the skills to, even if we had all the time, make the right decision. But the Musar practice tries to build strength, so that hopefully down the road I will have the kind of internal mechanisms where I can make probably an appropriate decision almost anything that happens. It's a long process. You know, Yisrael Salanto used to always say that it takes more effort to change one thing about ourselves than to learn the entire Talmud. Right? Just to read the Talmud is 7.5 years. But for a person to master it, to really learn it and know it, it's a lifetime. And he says it's more difficult to change one thing about ourselves. So talking about a project which is not a short-term project, it's a long-term project. Other questions? Okay. That's it. Julius, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Rabbi Skobeck, and thank you, everybody, for coming today. And we hope and look forward to many more opportunities to get together and learn. Thank you very much.